Hey everyone, welcome back to On the Block. I'm Madison McGee, your host, reality TV producer, and Big Brother super fan. Let's just get into it. We left off on this podcast with Michael winning HOH and nominating Joseph, Monty, and Terrence for eviction. Then we had on Wednesday night the veto competition, which was OTEV. Michael wins the veto, removes the three nominees, and puts up Kyle and Daniel with an incredible speech brought to you, honestly, by Daniel, who said it first to Taylor as he nominated her as a replacement nominee. Now the tables have turned and Michael says that he is doing what the house wants because that's what's best for his game and puts up Daniel and Kyle for eviction. Now, we see a lot of back and forth here. Kyle is someone who could go home as well. So there's a lot of reasons for that. He's in a showmance. He is starting to turn a little bit on the leftovers, starting to think that there's a cookout 3.0, 2.0, 7.0 going on here. We've talked about this. I don't really understand it. I'm not going to get too much into it because it's just like what else is there to be said? So he is definitely an option to go home, but the leftovers keep it the way that they had initially intended. And Daniel ends up leaving on Thursday night. This is great for a lot of reasons. Obviously, he just was such a menace in the house as far as like causing a lot of drama, saying a lot of things that weren't necessary, egging a lot of scenarios on, was targeting the leftovers, calling out Michael and Monty as huge threats. So him leaving is great for their games. It makes sense that they would want him to go. And keeping Kyle in for now, he's someone who is kind of playing for their team at the moment. It's just safe to have him. And down the line, I think as long as the leftovers aren't sitting next to Alyssa, he's a jury vote for them. So it makes sense. Whereas for at least Taylor, Daniel was not going to be a jury vote. So it for her game, it's definitely better. We start off the episode with some fun little, you know, segments. We got rid of Muffingate finally, but now we have these ciders, the cider hider. Alyssa's kind of sneaking around. It's kind of funny, whatever. Keeping the episodes as lively as possible. But honestly, that's kind of all that there is to update up to this point. I am recording this a little late, so I'm about to record another update for the next episode. So that's all that's happened for the end of the week. So Daniel is evicted from the house. He meets Julie. He is the last person left that is not part of the jury. So now we begin jury. The bestie twist is over. So no, everyone's playing an individual game, but now we have this new twist that's going to get introduced soon where the house will get divided into two halves and play out a whole game of Big Brother. And then there will be a double eviction. So one person from each side will go home. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out, if they're keeping them fully separate, if they're going to be like living amongst each other, strategizing together. Will the HOHs live in the same room? It's going to be really interesting to see. I'm not sure. They didn't really give a ton of details, but that will happen starting on Thursday. They will find out about it and then that will happen. And I don't know how they're getting divided up. There really is no details at the moment to discuss, but that's what's happening starting next week that we were informed about on Thursday. Daniel, I have seen some of the exit interviews. I've watched a lot of the feeds up to now, so I do know what has happened. I don't want to spoil it because we're literally going to talk about it on the next episode, but I am very excited to see how the rest of this plays out. I like the updates I'm seeing on the live feeds. I like what's happening. There's a lot of drama, it seems, that could happen in like a fun Big Brother kind of way. I don't think we're going to see too much, hopefully, of the things we've seen thus far. I'm hoping that like Alyssa kind of backs off a little, hopefully Indy and Jasmine kind of back off a little. And then other than that, I mean, I think it could be really fun and the Big Brother that we all love to watch. So we'll see what ends up happening, but I'm very excited to introduce this next interview. It's someone who has their own experience of bullying and racism inside of the Big Brother house, someone who had to overcome a lot to continue going and still said yes to doing other shows. It's very inspiring and very interesting. We are watching him now currently on a show on CBS, The Challenge USA. I interview David Alexander. We talk about a lot of different things. We talk about his time in the house. We talk a lot about his underdog story, what he's doing to overcome that, and how he's really changing the narrative for himself on reality TV. It's really cool. This did record before this last week's episode, so we really didn't talk about him winning the weekly challenge, and I want to talk about that right now. We do discuss a lot about this underdog narrative. He was the first boot on his first season, got eighth place on his second season of Big Brother, which was an all-star season, and then did the challenge. And I think a lot of people were really not thinking that he was going to come out and like turn it out. But we just watched him this past Wednesday win the challenge, and it's really cool to see. So yeah, we talk a lot about that. I'm excited for you to hear it. I hope that you enjoy. Please like, rate, review, subscribe wherever you're listening, and stay tuned for more episodes of this podcast. And for now, that's all I got. This is my interview with David Alexander.
Dude, what's going on?
It's Monday. We're having a good morning. We were from run this morning. We ran four and a quarter miles. So we've been running a lot. If you've been following me on IG, we are up, I think, maybe over 200 miles so far this summer. Little disclaimer, the challenge does do that to you. It like shifts your whole mindset around fitness and that type of stuff.
Like in a way where you were like, I need to do more. I feel like you were already like working out a lot.
More. Listen on the challenge, put it like this. You have a collegiate swimmer, a pro cycler, a D1 collegiate basketball player, D1 football player, a retired NFL athlete that's still in his early 30s, like you know, soccer, it's just all these type of athletes. And that's just on the guy's side, right? So after competing against them, please continue to watch the season and see what happens, right? I'm like, oh, shit, like, I need to do something. Like, I have to, like, step my game up.
Wow, that's actually really interesting. So, yeah, obviously, I'm watching the challenge. I had never seen the challenge before. And then I had a lot of friends who were on it. It's funny, when we met, obviously didn't know you were going. And I think everyone was, like, about to leave. And didn't know you were going, but I knew that my other friends were going. And so I wish that I had known you were going. It's just so, I like think back to that. I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea.
When we hung out with it was the finale of the last season of Big Brother.
Yeah,
no,
Celebrity.
No, it wasn't then.
It was Celebrity Big Brother, right?
It was the finale of Celebrity. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, so it was like February.
Because Aza and Kylan, they had their Chops series for
yes.
the finale. And,
yes.
Okay. I lived in L.A. It was literally not even a mile from my apartment when I lived in L.A.
That's so crazy. Yeah, we lived so close. You were like right. And then, yeah, you left and then you never came back. You left for the show and it was like, okay, David's just gone now.
It's like, peace out, L.A. I have fun. It was a good two and a half years, but I just needed to be back where like I grew up pretty much. Like I got into Big Brother season 21 my first year. Second, close this door. But yeah, so I got into played. Oh, there goes my friend. That's Pepe. That's my one of the reasons I came back to Atlanta. But so yeah, I did the first season of BB, then immediately got a job opportunity that moved me out to Los Angeles. COVID happens, All Stars, second wave. And so I was just like a constant, something huge was happening, either life or globally. And I never had a chance to really be around families and friends, just a reminder of who you are to stay grounded. And so I decided that this Challenge USA, A, was an opportunity to go ahead and get ready for that relocation back to Atlanta. And it's another competition series to kind of prove myself in a different way.
Yeah. And that's interesting that you bring that up, because you are kind of the resident underdog, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And it felt like you, of everyone, mentally felt like you had to prove something. And I know we aren't, the season's not over yet, so no spoilers, but do you feel like you did that?
I mean, so far, if you've been watching what we just got through episode 5, on the 4th episode, lost the daily challenge. It was trivia. Always seems like a crapshoot. You asked me about NHL, Stanley Cup winners. I can go back 25 years on NBA, but I missed that question. Guess what? You're in elimination. And a lot of things happened, but I'm going against Xavier and Shan. These two individuals very recently created a big buzz. Xavier did what I couldn't do, which was win Big Brother. And like nothing but love for him because of what he was able to shift history wise and being the first African-American to win the game. And, you know, as a result of the cookout and all these individuals collectively coming together, despite their differences, despite some of the tensions that was comes as a playing Big Brother, they stuck together and made that history. I beat him in elimination, right? And that was that was the biggest moment of my reality competition series. I proved it to myself that I belong here. I'm not just an underdog that puts some respect on my name. Like, and I felt that in the house too. I think being an underdog, there's good things about it. You get to prove yourself and everybody else wrong. But then also, I think people feel like you can be a layup or an easy win. And they say they might not give it their best effort. They might feel like they can just do whatever and get through the competition. And I don't think that's the case.
Do you think going into a show like The Challenge, I mean, obviously, like, we had seen you on Instagram, like, you were working out a lot before this. I mean, it felt like that was just kind of part of your routine in general. Do you feel like it's almost beneficial to be an underdog because you can do things like come out of the woodwork during an elimination, knock it out, and people maybe aren't expecting that? Or is it better to go in like an Angela or a Tyson, because that does kind of put a target on your back?
I think ultimately, because you have to win to stay, like, it's unlike some other shows where it's a experiment of who's popular, who gets along with everybody, who can play the politics social game. Like, at the end of the day, you have to beat said person to get them out. And I think if you're viewed as a strong player, then that increases your chances of either not being thrown in or not looked at as somebody that can be beat. I think that helps your game ultimately long term.
Okay. Interesting. And yeah, I mean, at this point, Tyson and Angela are just steamrolling the competition. It's crazy because there's so many people there, but they keep, it doesn't matter who they're paired with, they just keep winning.
And I would at this point, I would throw Kylan up there too. Between the three of them, they're the only ones that have won more than one. I mean, we have 5 challenges so far. Tyson's won 3. He came into the last one with Cachet, who is afraid of water, who's not even swimming on her own, right? Everybody else is swimming independently, except Leo, right? Sarah's carrying him in the last episode. But outside of that, like, they literally win. I remember that moment because me and Alyssa, now I surprised myself on this competition. I got to say, like, I don't fuck with water. I don't be swimming. But we were the 3rd fastest team swimming. So, you know, I think that elimination win shifted a lot of different things. But back to what I'm saying, me and Alyssa are trying to put this puzzle together, right? And we have so much time because we are there with, I think Ben and Justine got done, and Derek and Kayla were done working on the puzzle. So we're like, literally have a chance to win. I'm like, you just won a challenge. I just won an elimination. Let's take this momentum into this next challenge and let me prove everybody wrong again. And soon as within 20 seconds of Tyson and Cachet working on the puzzle, they're done. And we're just like, what the? But then, you know, you don't want to come in last place. So you acknowledge it. You're like, oh, shit. And then you go back to your puzzle. Because I'm like, we're not coming in last. Like, I did this last week. I do not want to go back to elimination. Let's finish this puzzle and get it done. But, man, Tyson, like you said, Angela, at this point, powerhouses right now.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, that was crazy. I was like thinking, I'm obviously, I know Derek X, and I was thinking like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Like he's gonna win. This is so cool. Like, and then it was like, nope, never mind.
I'm telling you, so the challenge is such a good way of like, you can dominate in one way within a challenge, but if you're not grounded in everything or well-rounded, you can get stuck. Like you can be a physical beast, get to a point where it's a puzzle or memory or something, and then boom, like now everybody's catching up to you. Now you have to like not panic and stay calm and try to, if it still went. So like I think that's why this show and this game is so amazing. And if you can just tell by my mood in this interview, I like it way more than Big Brother. I don't think I even did any Big Brother interviews because I'm just like, you know what? Forget that All Star, all that show, all that stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, that is actually interesting because you talk a little bit about Xavier and Azza, the cookout. Kylan is there. Tiffany was there. What does it mean to like hang out with these people who, had you been cast on their season, you would have had an incredibly different experience on this
Ooh.
show. And like, what does it mean to you to be like around those people who really changed, made history, like you said, on a show that like was not as kind to you?
It meant everything to meet them finale night, finale night of their season. So I didn't watch their season. I still had my own trauma from the experience. I could not bring myself to watch people walk around the house after 2 years of doing it. But I was following and I knew what was happening, right? Not too much, but at least no. And my biggest fear as I was watching it was something not working out. And I didn't want to deal with that anxiety of them not getting there and making it happen. And then when I heard there were final six, and I was just like, yes, like it's done. Like it solidified what's gonna happen. And I think when I met all of them on finale night, except for Big D, he flew back home. I think I cried. I think definitely cried. I was definitely emotional, just because of my experience and like I wanted to make history. And my goal was to carry that torch. And it was a lot of pressure. And it was probably too much to try to do for a reality show, honestly. But the fact that they did it meant a lot to me. And then I'm freaking less than a year later, I'm playing a game with them, like. This is, I think this is, these are the moments in this whole reality world where it's just the coolest experience ever. Like Xavier, you just won this game. Azza, I'm meeting you. I met you before, but now we're literally playing a game together. Like you, I was looking up to you guys and like appreciating what you guys were doing. And now we're like playing against with, like we're playing this new game together. Like it's surreal. It's the most surreal moment. And I think for them too. I mean, I talked to Hannah one time and she was like, you inspired me. And I'm just like, I did so terrible. But so you don't know who, no matter how what you do on these shows, what your example might do for others. You know what I'm saying? And so that meant a lot. And yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. I just got chills. Yeah, it's been such an interesting year of Big Brother. I don't know if you're following it all now, but it seemed to have taken a bit of a turn. So we have like kind of the dark side, I guess you could say, of the cookout, right? So we knew when this happened last year that there was a possibility that now every time someone enters the house and looks at a black person a funny way, there people are going to say, oh, they're working together. Oh, it's obvious that they're forming their own version of the cookout. And in the last week, we've seen a one particular White House guest sort of say that about the other people of color in the house who are not at all even like looking in the same direction as each other. Like it's very weird. And so I'm curious if when you heard about like the cookout and like thinking, oh my gosh, this is so amazing, like were you worried at all about future Black, Indigenous, people of color house guests?
Yeah, you now that strategy can never work again. And ultimately, even if it's a strategy that's not being like, if even it's not a strategy that they're using, people are going to think they are. Recency bias. People are going to look at the cookout and be like, okay, all the black people in this house are probably working together. They probably are. Even if they aren't in that house, when you're dealing with all these emotions and you're trying to win this game and you're in this pressure cooker, you start to just, your implicit biases start to come to mind. You see black people together, like, oh, they got to be working together. The cookout strategy will not work again, not independent of other ethnicities being included in some capacity.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. Big D actually tweeted this. He's like, you wouldn't have any of these shows now without us because the narrative just seems to carry from show to show to show. And we saw this a little bit on The Challenge, where the cookout was kind of brought up as a reason why certain people were being either not being trusted or being targeted. And now we have kind of this again. We saw this actually on Big Brother Canada. They were talking about the cookout there. How long do you think this is going to be a concern before people maybe forget or kind of move on and let, people play their own game?
I think ultimately this Big Brother and some of these shows are microcosm of our society. People, no matter what, are going to come in with some biases, good and bad. And I think it's going to take great game players to be able to read a room and figure out who they can work with and how they can figure it out. And if you start to see a trend with one person, if they have a narrative they're trying to put out there, you have to be a smart person to look that up and see it and maybe get rid of them. I've heard a little bit about the individual you're talking about. I saw some stuff. One thing I do hope is that, I guess for the social media aspect that people are going to get, I hope people can be a little bit more patient and not come in and attack and kind of mess with people's mental. That's one thing I'm a big advocate for sometimes. A lot of people go in this game and not knowing what the trolls and opinions are going to come their way based on how they play. Some of it is deserved. But sometimes people just need to learn. And I'm more one for patience than attack.
How did you deal? Sorry, I know we're talking a lot about Big Brother. We'll go back to the challenge. But how did you, when you got off the show? I mean, we saw obviously finale night, your season, there was a little bit of a conversation had, but I mean, it's live TV, not that long. How, when you got home, were you able to like kind of process what happened to you? And sort of either like forgive or move forward. Like, what was that like?
It takes time. Like I remember at the time of it, it's still overwhelming. Even though I was pre-jury, I'm still part of a bigger conversation around bullying, racism, prejudice, biases. And I remember getting my 5 second moment on live TV to address some of the things that were happening in the house. That's not enough time. And ultimately, I took the road of more forgiveness, but at the same time, choosing forgiveness and choosing a route where I hope people can be more forgiving and hope that people can change. Social media doesn't like that. And I got a lot of attack for that because, in my eyes, and I still stick by this, right? If I look at these individuals that behave in this manner and just give them hate and ugliness and attack and not try to help them redeem themselves or show them kindness, then their followers, the people that might support their acts or not think that their acts are bad, if they don't see them change, how can their followers ever see the opportunity to change themselves? How can they ever inspire others? They still have huge fan bases, right? If we don't try to see them change or try to see them through that change, or maybe call them out when they're not doing it right? People still need to be called out if they're not doing the right things. And I heard some stuff about what they were doing wasn't wrong. I mean, it wasn't right. I'm just one that sees I think the macro picture of this opportunity for people to be exposed and what they grew up maybe being wrong, going through the toughness of changing, and then maybe having the world react the way they're going to react.
Yeah, that's good. It's interesting. The girl who's was getting like insanely bullied, Taylor, would do this thing where something would happen, someone would yell at her or say something to her, and she would look at the cameras and like talk to the live feeders and be like, oh, I hope you don't cancel this person when I get out of the house. Like, they're really like, we're going to be friends when we get out of here. And it was really interesting to watch her, like, obviously know the dynamics of Twitter and what happens when people are watching the show all of the time and are so obsessed with it, and then almost like apologize for them and like tell us kind of what you're saying, like, give them a chance, don't cancel them right away. Like, it was really interesting. And I think a lot of people who haven't been in a situation like yours they can't understand like what that is like to like feel that empathy towards the person who's been like bullying you. And so it's just really interesting to see. And I think you and Taylor have a lot of similarities in that approach and that mindset, which is very interesting.
The only thing that sucks about that is just the internet doesn't, social media, especially Twitter is toxic. They don't like that. Drama, angriness, being upset, you're racist, and just attacking someone is the energy that Twitter wants. And you just have to fight against giving into that and be true to who you are. Like, be your authentic self. If you're a forgiving, empathetic person, be that person. Don't let the internet take that from you. The internet tried to take that from me, and I've managed to continue to be who I am. And somehow, some way, and I don't know if that's led to me being on more shows or made more appearances, but I'm still here. And I would say, I don't know how that, I still don't know how that worked. You know, you come on last place on Big Brother, and now, you know, I'm on the Challenge USA being regarded as reality titan. That is still weird for me to say that. But I think it speaks to me being authentically myself in these games and outside the games.
Yeah. What was that like so BB21 first boot, then you get a call for next summer? What was that? What were you thinking? Were you immediately like, yes, I'm going? Did you have to think about it?
I was like, no.
Really?
No. Like, first of all, when you first do the game, you don't know how it's affecting you, right? I suggest everybody who goes to these games, go to therapy when you get done. Like, help talk to someone that can keep you grounded. And this new fame and this new attention, good and bad, you know, you got to raise that even could on this. But that being said, coming into the summer of 2020, we just went through COVID. So you're talking about Big Brother experience, and there's an afterglow of that effect, right? You kind of want to make your appearances. You want to talk to people. You want to see your cast, depending on how your season went, right? And then COVID happened, so shut all of that down. And we're going to the summer, and they're like, you want to come back? I'm like, no. Like, I'm trying to figure out who I am. I can get along with the same type of people. Like, did I do something wrong in the house? Like, who am I, like, after this show? Because now I have opinions from others. And what led to me end up doing it was, A, the compensation that they offered, right? That made it a lot easier decision. And I wanted to make sure that, A, there wasn't a day one eviction or banishment. I was like, I'm not doing it if that exists. I don't know if that's going to be me, but guess what? I prepared for a reality show a year ago, and I went in, and guess what? I was out in 2 seconds. So why would I put myself through that again? No. And then lastly, the last thing that I inquired and asked about was, A, I wanted to speak to the executives about my experience, CBS, and then see if they had some plans in action for prejudice, bias, wow, tribalism, all those different things that happened in the house. And I think since then, especially since George Floyd, there's been trainings. There's trainings before every show. All Stars, there was trainings on recency bias, all those different things, right?
Wow.
And then on the Challenge USA, same thing. There's trainings in place. I don't want to say that was because of me. I think collectively that's something that you're going to see more often across all industries as a result of George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, putting attention on what, you know, African Americans have gone through systematically in America. But being the most recent two shows and going through what I went through, I think at least had some factor.
Totally. I'm sure your name was brought up in a few meetings for sure. So now you're in L. Well, at this point, you're in LA and you get a call to do the Challenge USA. What were you thinking? Because that obviously seems like way more up your alley. Like the Challenge seems like your speed of show. Was that more of an immediate yes?
It was, and I was immediately interested in doing it. I was like, yeah, this would be so dope to do. But I had concerns on my full-time employment at the time. During All-Stars, it was COVID, so I wasn't able to do my job anyway. So it was easier for them to be like, sure, go redeem what you went through the year before. We have no problem with that. Actually, we support it. We want to see you do well, right? Business is open now, work in sales. And so as soon as I'm leaving again, that is a, you know, very productive, you know, employee that's leaving to go do another show. And so I knew that wasn't something I can inquire and ask about. So essentially it was like me choosing between doing that and resigning from a position. The thing that made it happen for me, that made it an easy yes, was I knew I wanted to move back to Atlanta, and I talked to my company. They were like, hey, we can't relocate you back to Atlanta. We don't have your position in Atlanta. So I was like, all right, I want to move to Atlanta. So I'm going to do this show because I can do it, and then move right after, which I did, because I was out right after right after the filming ended.
Yeah. So it's kind of perfect timing. So did you just have to get, like, you have a different job now in Atlanta?
No, I just took a break. After three reality shows in the pandemic, I just needed a moment to just sit still. And that's what I came and did. Like, I've been just training. I do some coaching now. I coach CrossFit now. So a little bit of a different than a full-time role. It makes me a better athlete now that people look up to me. And, you know, they look at me as someone that is teaching them how to do this sport and learn how to train. And so as a result of the challenge, I want to become better. But now I get to coach and get paid to teach people.
Yeah, that's great. So would you go on the challenge again?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, it's the day-to-day experience of it. Cameras aren't on all the time. It's, you know, not as long and enduring. And it's, you know, I feel like the thing about Big Brother that can mess with people's head is you're building trust as a position of power. The more trust you build along your housemates, the more power you have in deciding who can go home, who you can influence, where you can dictate the game power-wise. At the end of the day on the challenge, no matter how much power you have, no matter how well you do, if you're in elimination, you have to win to get back in the house. And so I think losing on the challenge, unless your back is stabbed to get into an elimination, I think it's just you lose and you go home. There's no backdoor veto, HOAs, all these different political factors that play into it. You got to win.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
With your season, this algorithm is just, it's so stressful every time. But
when tell me.
Went in, I mean, I had never seen the challenge, but I've heard a little bit about it. And like, it was like, you're usually in partners and you stick with your partner the whole time. So what was it? What was your strategy going in, and how did that change when the algorithm was put into play?
So my strategy going in was to lay low. I knew for the most part what the caps was going to look like. I was doing my research, seeing who was coming into the game. And I did under, I think we I was under the stamina. It's going to be a various shows competing against each other. Once I got, I'm looking at Twitter and Reddit and this and stuff. Once I got a word that, you know, all these people from 23 is going to be on there, I was like, oh shit, like I'm on the outside looking in. Even within my show, like six people from one season versus what it was, me and Enzo and Angela from the outside. Like, you kind of get a feel for, you're going to look out for their own ultimately at the end of the day. And so my idea was just to lay low. Like, I'm not going to try to make any big moves. I'm not going to try to gain too much. There's some history between people on various shows that need to play out, some relationships, people's exes, all this stuff, right? If I can just stay out of that, then I'll have my moments. So that was my strategy, to lay low and then play when I needed to play.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. And it's funny because I think everyone thought, oh, BB23 will stick together. So, you know, if Big Brother sticks together to a certain point, then they're going to start pecking off David, Angela, Enzo, and then they'll take out each other. And it was the opposite. What were you thinking when you started to see them unravel? Like, were you nervous thinking, oh no, Big Brother is starting to turn on each other? Or were you like, oh, they got to work out their own thing?
Oh, as soon as, I think it was the first, I knew I was on the outside looking in on the first and second elimination. I did not know. I heard rumblings of who was possibly going in, but I did not know. And then once I saw during that game who went out, I mean, or who got thrown into elimination, it actually changed a lot about how I was playing. So they don't show it much on the show, but we do have nights out where we go out and have drinks, you know, talk about the game, etc. Just like any other challenge. Typically, you know, I think it's a day or two before the elimination. And so when that first, I think it was the second elimination, I had a lot of drinks tonight, but I was a little hungover. And I see who went in. I was like, oh, that could have been me. Like, easily could have been me. And so I'm like, oh, no. Like, oh, okay, David, you can't be just out here turned up. You can't be out here assuming you're good from what you're hearing in the house. And so after that, I went into every single elimination with the thought that it could be me. Mentally just being there, warming up, getting ready for whatever physicality or mental, whatever tears is going to throw at us, I had to be in the mindset of being ready. And so even though, you know, I think even while we're watching it during the season so far, I don't smile a lot. I'm not as, and like, I'm just not as fun because people don't know, like, I have this Big Brother 21 and 22 just sitting on my shoulder. Heavy, heavy, heavy based on, and I just like, I have to perform well in the elimination, or I just know I can't have fun because I was never in a position of having fun on my shows. I never had power on my shows. I was always the down, you know, the underdog trying to get an opportunity to have something. And so that's something that kind of changed how I played the game throughout the season so far.
Yeah, gosh. That would be so stressful. What's that like, the timeline? So we watch an episode a week, but how long does all of that really transpire between like the main challenge and the elimination?
I don't know if I mean, I think within a 2-3 days, something like that.
Whoa. Okay. So it's quick. Yeah. Cause I mean, you don't film, obviously the show, there's so many teams. And if one team gets eliminated a week, you weren't out there for months and months and months. So yeah, you're like, it's turning around really fast. You have to mentally prepare more than once a week for all of this.
Yeah, I think that's why winning a challenge gives you somewhat of a mental break. I mean, you do have power, and power does mean responsibilities. You can, you know, if the team you sent in comes back into the house, what does that do? Right, we're going to see on the next episode, you know, Tyson and Cachet put in Sarah and Leo. Tyson and Sarah just came up with an agreement to like, yo, we had our history, we're good now, right? And then Tyson's like, you know, throw Sarah in. They won. They're back in the house. I remember very specifically that night after that elimination, what the energy was like. Tune in to the next episode so you can see. Yes, please, please tune in. It's just, the challenge is crazy after this last elimination.
Yeah, wow. That is... Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah, so then to think that that's like, then maybe the next day or the day after you're competing already again, that's wild. Yeah, that energy kind of carries you into the next, and you kind of ride that wave, which you said too, when you won your elimination, you carried that into the next challenge. And so, yeah, gosh.
It just gives you confidence. A lot of these games are not games that are impossible. That's just like swimming. You can't swim. But everything's made to be done by most individuals who come and compete. I think it comes down to your confidence, your mentality. Are you calm? Can you, you know, you have speed and endurance. You have foundational training. But at the end of the day, it comes from momentum too, right? If you know and feel like you can win, guess what? You will win. that I had, man, I had that pressure so far, at least on that on elimination. But yeah, I'm hoping that I don't know what is so. What I gotta ask you a question now, Ms. Madison McGee.
Okay.
What is the viewership like on the challenge? Is it been an exciting thing to see Survivor, Big Brother, Love Island, and Maze Race come together, compete together? How does it compare to the regular show? This is your first time tuning in, so I think CBS and MTV, whatever they did to capture you as an audience, is working, right? Because now it's bringing in some of the Big Brother fans onto a new series.
No, I think that was smart. And I produce reality TV, so I also have that kind of mentality as well. So I do think it was genius. I think it's interesting because I had never watched The Challenge because that's really not my vibe. Like, I'm not an MTV reality TV watcher. Would I work on those shows? Probably, but I don't consume that kind of content. I'm not watching like X on the Beach. I'm not watching any of that kind of stuff. So when I heard The Challenge was coming to CBS, initially I was like, oh gosh, like that is not the network for that type of show, but it seems dialed back in that sense. Like, it's definitely made for CBS, which I appreciate. I think it's done really well. And I think it is fun that we're watching people who are on these shows that are also on CBS. I think it's a smart play that it comes on right after Big Brother. Obviously, they knew what they were doing, having six people from the most recent season of Big Brother on right at the end. But I also think it's interesting because Love Island was just purchased by NBC. It now streams on Peacock. And if CBS wants to continue doing this, will they have the rights to Love Island people? Will they want to include Love Island people? Now, are they only going to have three shows? I'm curious the longevity of this series if they don't open it up and incorporate other shows. But I think the draw is that it's just CBS shows. So it's tough. Like, I love watching people that I've seen on shows. I'm obviously a little biased. I have friends who are on the show, people that I've met or know or have interviewed for this podcast. And so I love watching it. I think it's really fun seeing people I know strategize. I don't even think now that's enough for me to watch the MTV version because it would be a bunch of people from shows I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, well, I don't know their dynamic. Like, if you had never watched Big Brother 23, I don't know how you could sit through the first three episodes of The Challenge USA, because you'd just be like, oh, there's history here that I'm like missing. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. So if I jumped into MTV The Challenge, I'd be like, I don't know these people. I don't know that they know each other. I don't know that they're dating in real life. Like, I would miss a lot of that. And so I think that was the draw for me, was that I know these people. I have seen dynamics, we watch them on their shows, and now we get to watch them in this setting, which is really fun. I was loved watching Angela. I love watching Angela on The Challenge because I didn't think she got her moment on Big Brother. And so it's cool. It is cool watching people who I've seen before on these shows. But I'm interested to see if they'll do it again. But I don't know.
That's all the speculation now. We're like, you know, I think there's, you know, by the end of this first season, even so far from what we're seeing storylines that are unfinished. What if Xavier beat me and got back into the house? What then happens, right? Like, at me watching the show, I'm like, I know I'm cheering for me because I know I need this win. But at the same time, I'm like, yo, what happened? What does Xavier do when he gets back in the house? Get back in the compound. We need to see what happens with that. I mean, listen, on the way out, he was like, y'all still broke. You can't tell me, like, no, listen, everybody cool. You know, I think for the most part, everybody's cool, but grudges are held, right? You kind of hold it. You kind of put it down here. You're like, all right, I'm going to just hold it right here. But as soon as they get opportunity, people are going to make their moves, especially if they get opportunity to play again. So I'd be curious to see, like, what they do from 24, Survivor 42, people from this season, MTV, like, how do they continue these storylines and bring people back in to play this game again? I can't wait to see what happens, and hopefully I have some involvement. That would be dope. But either way, I'm my journey has been freaking crazy. So I don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. What's it like for you watching? Like, so you were there, obviously. And I always think this when I work on a show and then I watch it on TV and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they didn't put this in, or I can't believe this didn't make the cut. Is there any moments where you're like, oh my gosh, like this was so cool and it's not nowhere to be found on the episode?
Well, so far as I'm watching it, I'm barely, I think there's like a meme online. Like if David says hi one time to the camera, right? Like, damn, like, okay, you know, it's like a trend. I think at this point, Kiki has gotten more, right? She's gotten more like airtime than I have outside of my elimination. So yeah, as I'm watching it, of course, someone who's not getting a lot of screen time, I'm like, oh damn, they didn't miss this point, or damn, they make me look this way on this one. And so it's weird to watch it because I did not watch any of my seasons. I did watch the first few episodes of my first season just to get ready for All Stars, which was traumatic watching. I think I cried 4 times because I freaking lost on the banishment. But I just never watched myself. So it is super weird watching myself. But I always tell people like what this show means and what just my reality journey. Most, I would say 99% of the time when someone's the first out or early out on whatever reality TV competitive series, usually that's your story and that's it. Like, it doesn't go beyond that 98% of the time. I showed enough to get back from All Stars that I didn't know was All Stars until they freaking put me in the house. But I came back, right, for another season to play the game.
You didn't know it was All Stars?
No, they kept me in. That's why I went in. I was looking like a freaking ditz because they kept a lot of things on the wraps. They didn't tell me it was All Stars until a week before, and they didn't allow me to watch any CBS programming during our 2 week sequester prior to moving in. Everybody else had opportunities to watch, strategize, watch the game. They were like, nope, we don't have CBS. Sorry, David. Like, you can't watch Big Brother. I'm like, yo, I have 2 weeks of nothing to do. And they're like, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's why I went in. I didn't know anybody. Like, it was a setup.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that. That is, ooh.
That explains a lot. Yeah. And so, All-Star happens. I do substantially better. I get 8th place. 1 vote away. Enzo, you know. Anyways.
Oh, how funny. And then you were both there.
Yeah, my man voted me out. My guy. And so, right, last place. Like, I'm going to finish the story. Last place. And then, you know, All-Stars. And now I give a chance to say, that doesn't happen. That is not normal. That is an amazing opportunities that keep coming my way, that it works out, that I'm able to participate. So I'm beyond grateful. Even if this was my last experience doing this show, who knows? I would be beyond proud of just what my last 3 years of life have been.
Yeah, wow. And it is really cool. Like, almost every year you've been on a show since you started, which is huge.
It's surreal.
Like, a lot of people can't say that. A lot of people don't say that. And like you said, I mean, especially like getting out first, it's kind of like, great, thank you so much. Go back to your life. You know, we'll see you when we do a reunion for your season or whatever. And that's it. And then, you know, opportunity after opportunity, there's definitely something. I mean, from a producer standpoint, that doesn't happen unless they see something obviously in someone or want to perpetuate a storyline that you are clearly breaking every time you do a show. So that is great. But when you went in and you looked around, I mean, obviously you said you were kind of looking online to see who might be there, but when you got to the challenge compound and you're looking around at all these people, or at the airport, wherever you see them for the first time, who were you thinking they're going to be out for sure first, and then they surprised you?
Leo, right? This is me making an assumption based on what I see. And we saw it in the last episode, some of his energy and attitude early on was just like, I'm here to, this is so cool. Like, these challenges are so funny and wacky. And we're like over here like, bro, we got to swim 1,000 yards. Like, let's get serious. This is not, nothing about this is like, ha, ha, ha. Like, this shit is like real. like a lot of stuff was really, a lot of it's scary. Like, and so I would say Leo, like Leo for sure. He was just, it would be, he, now one thing he did do, he did like bring laughter to moments where we're all too serious maybe. And he would just be like, something's up with my cats. And as long as we're, so as long as you're not his partner, you're like, ha ha ha. But if you're his partner, like Sarah, you're like, yo, this is win or go home shit, bro. What are you doing?
Do you think that mentality helped him, like, do okay because he was not in his head like everyone else?
It really, I don't know if it helped him, but it really made it clear that he's going to be who he's going to be. He's not going to act a certain way for people in this house, compound, and or for a show. So I really feel like ultimately I'm all about, if you can be authentic self and play these games on TV, you are crushing it. It's the, I think when you have to not be yourself and you have to be a character, then you're going to go home because I think you might have issues. Now, like, who are you at home? Are you this character from a show, or are you yourself?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of respect for people who can like be themselves and stick to that. So
and it might work. I mean, I think there is some value, and I am seeing, as I see and watch this show, there is some value to understanding the production side of it, right? If you can look at the way the show is being produced and, you know, enshrine yourself into that in a way, I think there's some value there, especially if you want to continue to come back and you want to have your moments. You have to understand the production side too. And I think even on a regular MTV series, we see some of the regular names, CT, West, Banana, some of these names that are, you know, closely connected to the show, I think they understand the production. And at that point, they can, you know, they know what audience is, they know what production wants, and they can be themselves, be that character, and it adds value to the show. Sometimes you can be yourself and it's just not enough. Kind of just take it that way and kind of live with the results and then try to get better at the game.
Yeah, that's kind of funny too, because I've talked about this before, about especially on Big Brother, not necessarily like being someone else, but just like under that understanding production piece. So in the diary room, producers will ask you questions, and that can sometimes, maybe not intentionally on their part, let you know that you're in danger of going home, that maybe you should campaign harder, maybe you should use that special power that you got or whatever. And people who don't understand production don't realize that those questions are sort of leading in that direction. And if you understand that piece, maybe you're like, oh, they kept asking me about this power that I don't think I'm going to use because I feel safe. Maybe I am not that safe and I should use this thing. And if you know that, then you kind of understand that. But yeah, that is interesting. Like, just knowing more about production could help in a reality TV setting for sure.
Just to be, at the end of the day, you want to be entertaining. It is competitive. You want to win, but you know, they send us down with 28 people. There's a lot of factors that you don't have control over. The algorithm, right? Let's talk about that. I think we did mention about it, we never really touched on it. The algorithm is the ultimate determination of your fate in the game, I think. And I would talk about that as we were there. Like, doesn't matter how well connected you are, doesn't matter who you know, what's going on, those have a factor. But if you get, ultimately, if you get a really slow swimmer for this most recent challenge for episode 5, there's a chance you're gonna come in last place. You got the strongest person that's the best at whatever it is, but they're not good at swimming, boom, you might be an elimination. I think we saw that with Cinco. Cinco, arguably, is probably the most fit. He was like Thanos, right? You heard Tyson say it on the first episode. I mean, you see the dude in the jump. I'm just like, yo, I do not want to haul brawl that guy. I will. I'm fearless. But would I choose that route? No. Fuck no. Right? And then my man had a swimming challenge. Now, no shame to Aza. She's last minute, she was like, cool, I'll do the challenge, right? So she didn't have all that time to prepare and do all the necessary things, but she didn't quit and she tried her best. But at the same time, I think, you know, and with a different partner, does Cinco go home? Mm-mm. Probably not. At least on the swimming aspect of it.
Yeah. And that's what's crazy is, well, the algorithm picking your partner and you having no idea what the challenge is. Not that if you knew what it was, it would matter because you still don't get to pick your partner. But it is so crazy that, like, you get paired up with these random people. I keep thinking about, like, what if Tyson and Sarah end up paired together?
It changes everything.
Because now they're, like, they're obviously competing. And then there's this level of, do I maybe not want to win because I don't want him to win? So, like, it's this weird, now you have this, like, strategy in your head that you have to use as well. I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of interesting.
There's layers there too, because now you got to think about, was I talking shit about that person? Did I talk shit about that person to this person? Now we're all having these different partners. And one key component of me being a partner with somebody is I got to make sure we're on the same page. Like any other competitive sport, cohesion and chemistry is an important part. Like, how do you feel? Where are you at? Be honest with me, right? How do we fill the gaps in our performance? And whatever it is, it could be a challenge elimination. There's a togetherness and an openness that's necessary. And if that's not there, you're probably going to lose, right? And were you talking shit about your partner the week before? Was there a rumor around the house about how you felt about this person? Now you're partnered with them, or maybe you're partnered with one of their best friends. And now you have to kind of either own up to what you were saying or just hope it didn't, you know what I'm saying? Even on my elimination win, I mean, you heard Justine, I think, on that episode saying, like, I'm a David, like, you know, David the underdog. I felt that vibe after we lost trivia. I felt it. Like, you can feel that energy. But I committed to her that I didn't want to go home. And I said, we're not going home. Like, I just can't go home right now. I don't care who we're going against. I'm not going home. I said, you give me that energy, we'll be here. And once we kind of found that, like, we want to be here, no matter our differences, no matter how we felt about our game or who we're with, our team, whatever, right? It's just me and you against them. Fuck everybody else. What are we going to do? And I think moments like that can bring you together in a way that makes the game different from that point forward. Because guess what? From this point forward, me and Justine have an elimination win together. We might not be partnering together again, but we have that moment where we kept each other in the game. And so you got to think about that as you go through the season of who was partnering with this person, who won with this person, who stays safe, all these different elements, changes to that relation dynamics throughout the season. It's just, I just think it makes it crazier.
Yeah. Wow. So there's two strategies, I guess, when someone's in elimination and you win, to throw someone in. You either throw a pair in who you want to leave, or you throw a pair in who could beat the other pair so that they leave. What do you think? Do you think that it was Alyssa and Kylan that they wanted you to stay, or were they trying to get you out?
They wanted me to stay. They knew they were making a huge game decision to put X and Shannon. I was speaking with Kylan and Alyssa, and I did not want Xavier. If anything, you got to think about it from my perspective. He did what I couldn't do on Big Brother. I look up to him and from a reality experience, because he, like, lifted that weight off my shoulders. I felt like I failed myself, my family, America for not being that first African-American, which I hoped and said very viscerally that I wanted to be that person to win. And so, and it was Team BB, right? And I feel like there was a lot more options. And so I remember, like, telling the very last time that he was like, hey, it's probably going to be X. And I'm like, at this point, we did have conversations. You don't want to, for example, if I'm like, I don't want that person, you don't want to create tension with me. We kind of find this middle ground, like, okay, you're going to send them in? Cool. I'm cool. I'm no problem with you. I lost the challenge. But if you send me somebody I don't want, let's say Xavier is my teammate at this point in the game, then now there's might be some issues, because I did not want Xavier. I said I didn't want Xavier. If I come back in, you gave me what I didn't want, that might be a problem. So,
yeah.
But I really feel like they wanted Xavier to go, because he didn't see it coming. Look what happened when they called his name. He was like,
"Yeah,
he was like Shannon." He was so like Shannon. Crazy. Like, he really, we was there. He was like, Shannon. And they were like, no, Shan Xavier. And he was like,
yeah, that was brutal. That was brutal to watch. Was not expecting it. Oh gosh. What was the tension like? You were there. I mean, we see, you know, faces, but was everyone like, or was it like, okay.
Yes. Everybody was just like, and I can barely remember it because I was just locked in on what we had to do. I was locked in on, this isn't Big Brother. This isn't All Stars. Like, I cannot go home this early. Like, this is it. Like, this, I do not want to continue this narrative of my performance on these shows. I never won an HOH, only won one competition in the dark, which I'm proud of because of what happened on my first show, right? And so I can tell he was thrown off. They were kind of shocked. Now, there is some value, and we've seen on all these MTV shows, if an opponent doesn't know they're going in and they go in, they're not ready. They're not mentally there. They're at a disadvantage mentally, and that can affect how your choices are in the game. A lot of these games are strategy, not just who wants it more. It can be strategic-wise. And so I knew I would have that advantage no matter who was going in. And we saw when Xavier just decided to angrily punch all the glasses, that messed them up. Definitely, because we caught up to him going in and out of the cages.
Yeah, dang, that's crazy.
I've said it maybe 8 times on the Challenge USA, but this is not Big Brother. So I would say for those watching in, tuning into this podcast, whatever narrative or ideas you have on my performance on last 2 shows, know it's different this time. For my fans out there, people who are supporting and want to see David's camp comeback story, it's continuing. It has not ended. Camp comeback is still strong. I'm doing it for Ovi, Kimmy, myself, my brother and sister from my first season of reality. You know, I like to say I represent them in a way, especially my guy Ovi. He's always somebody I talk to prepare for these shows. Just my guy. So shout out to them. Madison, thank you for having me on, for me to tell a little bit of my story. Guys, please continue to tune in to the Challenge USA. If you have not watched it live on the show premiere nights, which is Wednesday at 9 p.m., Eastern, then you can catch it on Paramount Plus. So if you have not watched it, get caught up. It is literally getting crazy. It is like episode 6. We're starting to see some lines being drawn, some drama going on. And just from being there, I can tell you this next episode is going to be crazy from what you see going on in the house after this last elimination. So yes, that's what I'm sticking to.
That's why they bring you back. You're great at plugging things. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This was great. And yeah.
Thank you, Madison.